Hi, welcome to another case study discussion. Today, we focus on the challenges and rewards of a decision intelligence tool and its value to a hotel commercial operation. To bring their views and insights, we're joined by Firaz of Hotel IQ and Amy of Rocco Forte Hotels. Amy takes us through her journey, outlining the initial objectives and goals she was trying to achieve commercially after joining Rocco Forte Hotels. We look at how she reached the conclusion that a decision intelligence tool was the way to go. We explore what has transpired since introducing the technology and what gains have been made. And finally, we look at what value was derived and what additional positive, not originally expected outcomes were achieved. Really hope you enjoy the conversation. Hey, both of you. Thanks for joining us today. Got a really interesting, I know they say that all the time and they are really interesting, but this one's really interesting because we do love the case study discussions. So we've got obviously Hotel IQ and Amy, you're from Rocco Forte. We'll get the introductions in a moment, but I just wanted to welcome you both. So let's kick off and then I will tee this up. So Firaz, Hotel IQ, if I can pass over to you first and you can just give us a brief intro into who and what you guys are all about.
Absolutely. Thanks, Trevor. Great to see you as always. My name is Firaz. I'm the Director of Revenue Operations here at Hotel IQ. I've been with the company for about 7 years. And as part of my role, I get to work with our clients all across their Hotel IQ journey from the very beginning through to them extracting the most value as possible out of the tool. And so I've had the pleasure of working with Amy and the Rocco Forte team for, I think it's been about 2 years now we're closing in on. And it's been really fun and a great experience. And so I'm very thankful for her joining us here to, you know, share that experience with everyone.
Perfect. Brilliant. Thank you. And over to you, Amy.
Nice to see you, Trevor, for us. So I've been with Rocco Forte now for about 2.5 years, I guess, in the role of group revenue and distribution. I've got 25 years of experience in the industry, probably a little more now, actually, now that I think about it. And data has obviously been always a huge part of revenue and distribution. So it's the journey that we'll talk about is kind of where we went from my time of joining Rocco Forte, the partnership with Hotel IQ, and where that brings us to today.
Perfect. So you've just done my job for me and teed it up wonderfully. And that is the story. That's what we're going to explore today. And we're going to start off, obviously, by looking at where things were when you got there, what you wanted to be able to do, what the challenges were. And then, to use your word, you know, that journey of what do we need to do? How are we going to do it? How are we going to tackle this? And then where are we at the moment? So without any further ado, let's kick it off. So I guess, can you do a bit of scene setting for us? You know, there was obviously, to start on this exploration, there must have been a destination in mind of where you wanted to be and why you wanted to be there. Can you just set that scene a little bit for us?
Yeah, so I joined Rocco Forte, like I said, just about 2.5 years ago. So that was literally right at the tail end of COVID, and particularly in the UK.
Of course.
We were, I think, a month out of kind of, you know, social distancing. So straight into an entirely new market. Mm-hmm. And I came into the role and the company from a position with a previous company where we had an incredibly detailed, sophisticated source of data.
Okay.
So when you have that at your fingertips, you somewhat take that for granted. And when I moved into Rocco Forte, the company had just finished doing a new PMS installation over COVID with all of the challenges that came with that. And there was no longer any kind of data tool. There was full reliance on a PMS that was again, it was done during COVID. So the configurations weren't consistent. There was a lot of discrepancies. It was a newer system. So there were quite a few reporting bugs. So to go from the ability of having everything at your fingertips to absolutely nothing with no transparency, no visibility into any of my, you know, new hotels in an incredibly dynamic and rapidly evolving business environment, I was blind, literally blind. And so very quickly that precipitated the conversation internally of, we really need something. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm feeling this blindness, it's everybody else has to be as well.
Can I just pick up on that? It seems obvious when you say blindness, when you're in this space all the time, but because that's a source of friction for you. What does that blindness actually mean to you in a practical sense?
It's almost inconceivable to explain it, but you know, I want to see what each of my hotels has on the books by segment, mm-hmm. for current month, next 3 months. You couldn't get that information unless you went into every individual PMS, ran a report, validated that data, because again, we had, you know, some issues, mm-hmm. and then tried to pull it all together. So if I wanted to find out the geo source for my hotels, mm-hmm. Never mind things like lead time or room type usage, we had to go into each individual PMS to try to pull that. So not only was there literal blindness, but in order to get any of that data, the time to compile it,
yeah.
and then you put it into a format, and then, you know, so it would literally be hours to try to get any visibility into what was happening. You know, we also had challenges with the integrity of the data coming from the PMS for a variety of reasons. So you really struggled to know what was going on. You couldn't look forward. You couldn't see pace. Well, I mean, it was COVID, so fair enough. There wasn't really pace. But you couldn't get any idea of what was happening unless you spent a huge amount of time running manual reports and putting that all together. So particularly in my role overseeing multiple properties, you know, if I got asked a question by Sirocco, I'm like, let me get back to you tomorrow.
That doesn't go down well, does it?
No, it does not.
I've got some. I've got a follow up question to you, but Firas, to you, this must be, I guess, as you say, you're working with the clients all the time. This must be your daily arrival, and this is what you're seeing, yeah.
That's always like 9 out of 10 calls that I get on with people for the first time. It's some version of this, you know, like they've realized where they are. You know, they're in an untenable situation. It's taking too long. You know, that decision-making process, as Amy was describing, is really stretched out. So you're missing out on opportunities. You're missing out on threats because you're busy, you know, doing manual work and compiling stuff. It's something that I was very used to. And what made it so easy for us to work together is, you know, as soon as Amy got on that very first call with me, because of her experience, she was able to paint a very clear picture of exactly what she wanted, which always is music to my ears.
Now, I want to take that, because that kind of leads me, we must have done this before, because you kind of lead me into the into the next question. But it's because you'd had it before, Amy, you knew what you could gain from it. I mean, you've given us some indication from you know, just some simple being able to pull some key reports if someone asks you a question. But bigger picture, more commercially, how am I trying to phrase this? You could see that, the potential. What did that potential look like?
I think, and full disclosure here, I had used actually Hotel IQ multiple years ago when it was a fairly newer, mm-hmm. I guess, kind of startup, in a previous role. So that, and then also with my last position where, you know, I knew that you could have commercial, all of your stakeholders, if you could provide the information to them that they could figure out for them, or that they could pull themselves, it allows everybody a much deeper understanding of the business, much more autonomy in determining, you know, what they need to do for accounts, for their market segments, for whatnot. Never mind revenue, but we're talking sales, marketing, operations, GMs to a lesser extent, but still there. So the ability to have that at fingertips across multiple disciplines, which I know then brings the conversations that you have about your commercial strategy into a much more productive and proactive place. you know, and you free up everybody's time to focus on the strategy and what are we actually doing with the business rather than trying to understand the business and not having the time to tactically approach, you know, to your point, Faraz, you know, good trends, bad trends. How are we optimizing? So, you know, to have that and to know what that potential is. And again, coming into that, the crazy, crazy marketplace that we all experienced post-COVID, where rates were doubling in cases.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't, there were so many factors there. How you're missing an opportunity if you don't understand what's happening.
I want to pick up on a word that you use there. You use the word autonomous. They could, you know, now I know the Rocco Forte group of old, it's evolved, grown and developed. It always had a very strong culture of autonomy and responsibility at a hotel level as well, compared to a lot of brands which you groups are, you know, head office top down. So because we're going to talk about some elements that lean into that, can you just set the scene as to what the culture is like in the Rocco Forte group to be able to draw the advantage of that autonomy?
So I think there's two factors that really are a little bit unique within Rocco Forte. Mm-hmm. Is one, to your point, we, you know, each of the hotels is quite autonomous. Mm-hmm. And they all operate in unique market conditions, different markets. And again, during COVID, especially, I hate to go back to that, but, you know, where you had kind of that, a lack of support structure, you know, it was a battening down the hatches. So you didn't have the luxury of having multiple people able to do something. You were much more self-reliant, is one element of it. And then the second element is that we're not a very large company. We don't have reams of people to do things for us. Mm-hmm. So there's an innate, I guess, I'm not even sure what you want to call it, but everybody is very motivated to just do it. You mm-hmm. know, there's nobody that's going to give me the information.
Yeah.
I need to figure it out myself mm-hmm. because I don't have 16 automated reports coming into my inbox. I have to go get it. And so culturally within our brand, people are much more self-reliant to go find things out rather than wait for them to be delivered to them.
Yeah, that makes
and
a lot
that
of sense.
Will tie into, I think, how this journey evolved. And how we, you know, how we're using it from the beginning to today.
And you mentioned
I was going to ask you, jump in.
Yeah.
Perfect. No, that totally shines through in what I've seen working with the team. It's a little bit like, you know, it's kind of like us because we're a smaller team as well. You know, we're coming from a startup technology space. And I see similarities in how, you know, the Rocco Forte team to a person has that level of autonomy, that level of, I would even say, ownership. They really take ownership. And that was apparent through the process working with Amy and the team from a very early stage. Yeah. It wasn't that, you know, Amy brought everyone on the call and said, this is the tool and I like it because of X, Y, and Z. It was, here is my team and they are now going to ask you questions. And they were not, they are not shy at all, which is fantastic for us. And they jump right in there with both feet and ask us all the questions at a great level of detail. And it really, really makes it a fantastic process. And it makes them easy to work with.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And I mean, hey, you know, that can be an ideal scenario. Other businesses are structured different. You work with other groups where I guess it's presented in a very different way. And it is, here's a tool, you're going to use it. And so the emphasis then is maybe more on training because it feels like a top down, and then them understanding how they could be collaborating more, working together more becomes almost a secondary. But from what I understand from Amy's perspective, that was very much baked in from the beginning, the need to have that collaborative because there's such an autonomous nature. It did bring me to the question, you, because as you said, for full disclosure, you had used Hotel IQ earlier on in its earlier form, so we're aware of what it could achieve. I guess there's a, you know, you look at a solution like Hotel IQ, but there are also solutions which are, you know, a data warehouse, having someone that could then take responsibility for visualizing that data. How did you reach a point? You know, was that part of a consideration? You know, I know Hotel IQ, but do I go down that route? Is there another route of doing it? How did you weigh up to take the option of a decision intelligence tool rather than the data warehouse and then visualizing that?
Actually, a very simple answer, and this is, we're not a tech company. You know, I think at the heart of it, and this, we're a hotel company. We are hoteliers. We are not experts in tech. We are, well, you know, this is not what we do. And I think that it doesn't make sense to, and as I said, we're a fairly small, quite nimble company. Mm-hmm. We don't have a huge amount of resources. So in order to have something that works, that is reliable, that we're not constantly updating, it makes no sense to me to do anything like that in-house when we have experts like Faraz and Hotel IQ. This is what they do. And again, I've experienced that, you know, there's always conversations about a data warehouse within, because everybody's like, oh, this is such a good idea. It's like, no, wait a minute here. Who's going to do it?
Yeah.
You know, so from my perspective, it was super easy. We're just, you know, we're hoteliers. We need to be able to focus on what we do, not worry about creating a tech solution.
That must be something you face a lot, Faraz, that kind of conversation and either batting it back or trying to show them the value the other way.
Yeah, a lot of people I speak to as well, you know, that's a consideration whether or not they share that with us always. And from what I've seen is that it can really only be accomplished successfully when you are at a really large level of scale. When you are a very big, globally distributed, you know, large brand, that sort of scale, I would almost say it necessitates something like that. But for everyone else, it's really difficult to do it and do it successfully and keep things in check. Because by the time you add the full-time employees that are required, by the time you build the necessary infrastructure for it, you're probably, you know, in terms of budget, surpassing what subscription to a tool would cost you.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So you took the leap. You'd already, as you said, probably did help in some ways in that evaluation process because you'd already seen the value that a solution like Hotel IQ could bring. Let's fast forward those 2.5 years to where you are now. And if we can, okay, there.
Sorry.
No problem. So if we sort of fast forward those 2.5 years and look at where you are now, I'd be interested if we could look at it almost on two sort of levels, and that's maybe at a, because of the cultural and the way that Rocco Forte are set up, maybe how the property have responded and what they're seeing, but then also with your overview, looking at a portfolio level, and then if we have the opportunity, we might dive into the departments, but we might come back to that later. But just from a property and then an overarching sort of head office portfolio view, what can you tell us about that?
From the property level, it has actually exceeded my expectations with engagement from a variety of stakeholders.
Okay.
So obviously the revenue teams are going to be the immediate.
Right on it.
I mean, you don't need to really get into that. You know, if they're not using it, then they shouldn't be in their role. So they're very good. They're in it. They're there. But what I found that is really what I was hoping would happen was, you know, sales engagement.
Mm-hmm.
And we've also had very high engagement from GMs, which I was not expecting.
That is interesting.
So, you know, so each property has really dug into it in different ways. And depending on what stakeholder is, what they're looking for. So they have been able to have a much deeper understanding of their business and of trends going forward, raise up any, you know, any red flags much farther out. And it's also generated some very, very good conversations about forecast and what we're looking at in budget and you know, and marketing as well has really been involved, and how we do some of our marketing spend and campaigns has been influenced by what the data is that they're pulling out of IQ, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
And then obviously at, you know, the portfolio level, again, it's just given so much more visibility to myself, but also to other stakeholders, going through budget process, you know, in budget meetings, in, you know, a question as an example came up from Sirocco, why is you know, this particular ADR and this geo source so low compared to the others. And it's like immediate, that's because that's where our staff rate is. 47% of this geo source is staff rate. It's like, oh, okay, makes sense. So everybody has that immediate kind of, you know, answer to a question. You know, and as the other thing I think that we continue to see is more and more engagement as we continue to go, you know, as we move forward, you know, people start to dig in and find, oh, wait, I can find this out too, and go down a bit of a rabbit hole. So it's really, really positive.
It makes a, yeah. And I can, does it take, I could often imagine sometimes when the conversations were there before you had a way of, mm-hmm. not because you can analyze the data, but actually being able to then visualize it, but utilize it in a way that you can answer the questions or even make you ask the right kind of question. I'm trying to think how to phrase what I want to ask you, but I often feel sometimes it relies a lot on individuals' gut instinct, and you trust the team that you're working mm-hmm. with and that they know their property and they know their region. But there's always that element behind that you're looking just for a little bit of stability or a little bit of security that we're all kind of seeing the same kind of thing and reaching the same conclusion. Does it make sense what I'm kind of driving yeah. to there? Did you find that that just almost helped to more reinforce that knowledge yeah. and ease people into the decisions you then had to make?
Well, I think what we've got is with everybody using it, you have one system of truth. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you are you're all looking at the same data, how you're pulling that out, interpreting it, but that's that there is a system of truth there. And that then allows everybody collectively to kind of see the same thing, be on the same page and move forward. Mm-hmm. So that is really powerful as well, as opposed to, you know, previously somebody might pull one report from one, somebody else might, well, I read this article, you know, you have a broad range
yeah.
of data input. But yeah. there isn't necessarily consistency that in makes, that. So that IQ's made a big difference with that. You know, it's facts are facts.
Yeah. yeah. The ones and zeros. Firas, so I was going to say to you, what do you see?
I promise I didn't write a script for anything. I promise I didn't do that. But I couldn't have written it any better if I tried. No, 100%. That, and that's one of the really, well, I should say to set that up is that, you know, where we differentiate ourselves with Hotel IQ is that we say that we are a digital workspace for hospitality. And so we advocate for democratization of data. We're not gatekeeping data. Mm-hmm. So opening it up and, you know, giving access to everyone. And for a lot of organizations, that is still a pretty significant paradigm shift from where they are today. Mm-hmm. A lot of places right now, you know, that commercial team are the holders and the keepers of the data. They produce the reports, they spread the reports, you know, via email throughout the whole team. And that's just kind of how things work. And so this sort of flips that on the head, right? Everyone has access to data to go get what they need, to get it, you know, quickly and efficiently. We, you know, like Amy said, everyone is aligned because there's one source of truth. And then the downstream effect of that is that they're able to make those decisions, you know, faster, smarter, better, so on, and everyone benefits from it. And one of the really, really interesting and very cool things to see working with the Ronco Forte team is that we didn't have to sell them on this vision. We didn't have to coach them on this vision. They naturally took to it like a duck to water. They were just like, oh, okay, we can have data now. And everybody jumped in and dove in and was like sharing stuff all over. And it's just been really, really, really cool to see. And really validates for us that this is the, you know, we're on the right path. This is the right way of doing things and the benefits that this brings.
Well, I know from the conversations that we've had in the past, Firas, it's something you guys talk about, but it's never seen. You see it as the value, but I think externally it's never seen as the real golden egg. But it's that collaboration piece, isn't it? That you kind of really, but yep. you don't see that. I guess different companies, for whatever reasons, you see that to different degrees. And we'll come to you in a minute, Amy, to look at how Ronco Forte addressed it. But from an overview, Firas, what do you see kind of across a spectrum of how and the value of that collaboration piece?
In terms of a spectrum, you know, and what we see from some of our users, it is very much that. It's a spectrum. We were there at all different sorts. You know, some people, they just take that one first step out of, you know, manual spreadsheet-based reporting into Hotel IQ, and they're still operating in much the same way. And that's okay. It's a journey. It takes time. You can't go from, you know, 0 to 100 all that quickly. Yeah. That, you know, comes with its own issues. And then you get organizations, you know, that are further down the line or more towards where Rocco Forte is. And there's, you know, all different sorts of factors that play into that, the size of the organization, the structure, regional cultural dynamics, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But what we do see over time is that as they recognize and they see those benefits from working more collaboratively, sharing data more easily, they move along that spectrum towards that more democratic access to data. And that's why, you know, one of the hallmark features of Hotel IQ is we don't work on a number, you know, a seat-based model. When you buy access to Hotel IQ, you can create an unlimited number of logins. You can give access to the entire organization because we believe that everyone has a requirement and has a right to data. And it helps them and helps the organization on an overall basis.
That's the thing for you. It's that, ironically, the data is the core, but the underpinning piece that makes it really work is that collaboration, isn't it? It's making sure that as many people that need it can have access to it, because that's where it really has its power. Amy, I guess it poses the classic question, because I know when I was talking with Firaz and he was telling me about you guys and why we wanted to do the case study, the thing that blew him away was kind of just that level, the way that you guys embraced that collaboration piece and how everyone uses it. So I guess it poses that age-old question, how much of it is nature because of the culture and the way the company, and how much of it is nurture in terms of you understanding what can be done with it and how you've maybe signposted or encouraged with different ways, which I'm sure it's a combination of both. But tell us the story about how that collaboration piece works really well within Rocco Forte Group.
So I think one of the things, again, that for me was really key is the democratization of the data.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even within Rocco Forte, when I joined, within any organization, there is a propensity in some cases for silos.
Mm-hmm.
And we had been on a journey of breaking down some of those silos previously. With Hotel IQ, what it then allowed us to do through a combination of just, you know, people were curious, and then also about really shouting about, you know, we now have this and everybody can have access. I don't care if you're a dishwasher. If you want to learn more, here you go. Here's your login.
Yep.
You know, really, really made this accessible to everybody. And then it's just started to come up in conversations, you know, that we were having cross-discipline. So marketing and revenue. Marketing wanted to do a campaign. Revenue said, oh, well, I'm looking at this. This is my, you know, these data points. Marketing is like, oh, this is very interesting. Can I see this? Yeah, here you go.
Right.
So, so it almost somewhat was an organic.
So this sort of started to align a lot more in terms of those.
And again, I go back to, I think, you know, two things, one, system of truth, and the ability and just the accessibility to everybody. You don't have to be a tech genius to know how to figure out IQ, which is also really key. You know, you can be, it's just starting in your career and it's completely logical. Oh, if I do this, I can do this. I can find this out. So that accessibility is also really key, because people don't then get frustrated or discouraged when they're trying to find something out. Gotcha. And then walk away from it.
Gotcha.
You know, and I've seen that happen in other systems where it's just far too complicated, unless you're a revenue person, to, you know, I'm not going to touch it. Whereas the accessibility and the ease of use encourages people to kind of keep going back.
Have you seen you said you've seen cross-departmental conversations occur because of it. Have you seen, assuming that those conversations would have happened in some way at some point, have you noticed that having something like Hotel IQ has actually made those conversations differently? I was just picking up your point about the aligning and how suddenly it becomes much more commercial, strategic, yep, aligned 100%. In. What can you share around that?
So I guess one example is just on, and I'll, you know, use marketing again. Mm-hmm. So historically, you know, marketing does X number of campaigns. They come out at this time frame. They target these geo sources or areas. Tendency is to kind of just repeat the calendar year after year. Mm-hmm. Obviously, conditions change.
Yeah.
So, you know, what we have seen is that we've been able to really shift how those campaigns are run, who they target, when they go out, in order to really optimize that they are reaching, that they're hitting at the exact right point and reaching the right people. Mm-hmm. So as a, you know, you, it's hard to track the, it's hard to completely yeah. track the ROI on that,
yeah, yeah.
but, you know, but you can absolutely say, rather to say the lead time has shrunk from, I don't know, 60 to 30. We were launching it at 60. Well, we're missing out on what's actually happening.
Yeah.
So, you know, so we've really seen that progression. And then just with sales as well, I mean, with the ability of sales to really dig in and understand what's happening with their promotions, with their geo sources, you know, with their accounts, that as well has shifted some of the conversations that we're having, because there's light bulb moments going off of,
yeah.
oh, I didn't know I was getting all this business from Kazakhstan, for instance.
Yeah. Yeah.
And why are they up in May and they're not up in, you know, that
just
those
makes
sort
you
of
ask those questions, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is this what you see, Firas, across when people really go beyond just here's a tool that can pull all my data together and show me something, as opposed to, okay, how do we really use this strategically?
So yeah, these are the benefits that you get when you empower the people throughout the organization with data, rather than just serving them the same canned reports, you know, on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. When you give them that access, look, there are clever people throughout your organization, top to bottom. You hired them for a reason. Mm-hmm. They know how to do their jobs well. So if you give them the right tools, this is what they can do with it. You know, the analogy that we like to use at Hotel IQ is our users, our clients are the chefs. We're just the knife. How you use it and what you do with it is up to you to a certain degree, but we're there for you. Whether you want to make something really simple or something really complex,
yeah.
we can run the full gamut.
Interesting analogy. I like that one. You're obviously a Hotel IQ advocate, Amy, to say, yeah, we need to bring this in. And I think what's really coming across from this conversation is just the number of examples of how you can just illustrate where the impact is, rather than it just being, oh yeah, we love Hotel IQ, go and get Hotel IQ. But I am going to pin you down. Okay. So would you, yeah, I'll ask it direct. Would you say that the investment in Hotel IQ has yielded, and if it hasn't, will yield a return on the investment?
Oh, it already had. I mean, it was almost immediate, 100%.
Oh, wow. As quick as that?
It was very, very quick. I mean, we had, I guess, you know, the first month getting everything set up, getting the mapping and getting some of those things that we had to do on our side, getting that. But once you've got it up and running, within a month easily, just in the amount of time as well that would have been saved, just kind of a really quick win, the immediate time savings for the team in running reports, mm-hmm. massive right. ROI.
Yeah.
And then as as the level of sophistication grows with how we can use the tool and how that then segues into these strategic conversations, 100%. Very you know, and true. I think this was very obvious to our senior leadership as well, who very, very quickly, I mean, nobody has ever questioned, you know, was it worth it at any point? So, you know, usually you'll get,
I guess that's the biggest, indication.
I mean, you usually get the finance person going, what is this expensive?
What is this I keep signing on?
Not a word. So
interesting.
Yeah.
You've been able to compare, obviously, two different experiences with Hotel IQ. This second time round, is there anything that you've noticed? The simple answer might be no, it's exactly as I thought. But was there anything that you've noticed differently in a different environment that was maybe a positive that you hadn't recognized, registered in quite the same way first time round?
First time around, to be fair, was probably 9 years ago.
Oh, okay. So, a lot's changed since then.
It's quite a while ago.
So from your expectations there, was there anything that just surprised you?
It's a very different looking system than what it was. Mm-hmm. Very different functionally. It's evolved and grown, significantly. I think one of the things that I really appreciate is just the constant evolution and the ongoing evolution of Hotel IQ. Mm-hmm. And, Faraz and the team are incredibly open to our suggestions as hoteliers. It'd be really great to have this. Is this something that's possible? And I think as well, the response and how quickly you guys, respond and work on developing some of those things. For me, that's just been absolutely wonderful, because too often you get, it's intended functionality or some such response, without really listening to what the user.
That makes a lot of sense. I just want to come back to the ROI piece. Is Amy's situation fairly unique because she kind of knew of you guys and the way that Rocco Forte Group have taken it on board, that return on investment has been so quick? Or would you say that's once people make that leap and get over that initial phase, it's pretty much standard for everybody?
Exactly. Yes, that's what we see. There's always, that sort of initial period where you're just getting into it, especially, like Amy mentioned, the mapping, sorting all that thing out, that can actually be really helpful, because you're taking a really critical look at your data for some organizations for the first time. Once you get past, that sort of teething stage, and you get into the meat and potatoes of working with data and everything that it can do for you, yes, the time savings are the most immediate thing that people notice. Mm-hmm. And then it just, that snowball just keeps building as it rolls and rolls and rolls from there on. And it just continues to build and build. And to pick up on what Amy was saying about, working together with us, that's obviously music to my ears. but it's 100% baked into what we do. It is truly a partnership for us with our partners or our users. And we are very open to taking their feedback and suggestions. And it has happened more than one occasion in the history of the company where somebody has made a suggestion and we've said, hey, that's a really good idea. And then we've just made that available to everyone, and it's a part of the platform, and it's baked in. And so we've done that with the Rocco Forte team on a few different occasions. One example I can give you is that we noticed very early on that their team was using component rooms, virtual suites, sort of at a much higher rate than any of our clients previously. And because of the nuances that can develop in your reporting, we needed a solution to that. So our team very quickly came up with a solution that worked for them and made it easy for us to deploy relatively quickly and put it into place. And we, solved that and move on to the next thing. And that's just, how we work when we can work so closely with our partners. So one of the other things that's really great about our partnership that enables us to do this is we have a standing monthly call between myself, our customer success manager, and Amy, where it's always, there's an operational side to it, what's going on, what changes need to be made, what room types are you changing at the hotels has been a big part of it recently. And then there's also a strategic side of it of, okay, where are we going next? What's important for you? This is what we're working on. What do you think? Yeah. And all that. And that really cements that partnership in the longer term.
Makes a lot of sense. Conscious of your time, both of you, but particularly you, Amy. I know Firaz will happily invest the time here. I will, because it's what we do. You're being pulled away from something far more important. Some final questions for you. Okay. If you could go through the process again, I think I probably know the answer to that question is probably going to be a yes, because you're already doing it, doing it a time round. Would you do anything differently?
I think just process-wise, probably not. Mm-hmm. I think potentially some of the, the mapping and the implications of that. Mm-hmm. I think I would probably have done a bit more of that with the team. And mm-hmm. We did it a bit ad hoc in some respects. And I think that has, that could be done a bit better. I think on the connectivity piece, I would probably have gone straight to OHIP if that was an option, to just get that direct connection in systems-wise rather than through an OXI. But other than that, you know, I think we did it overall pretty well.
Yeah, Firas, your perspective, not that you would necessarily have done anything differently, but and also OHIP and OXI, just for you pick up on those
sure,
ones.
Sure. Those are without getting too into the weeds, are two validated interface methods for integrating with Opera PMS.
Okay.
So OHIP is the newer one that is, you know, more streaming data. And so we've implemented that for Roccaforte as well as some of our other clients. And we are really seeing some very strong benefits from that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good, very good. And I guess then the final question for anybody who's listening to this or watching this, Amy, what if they were in a similar position? So they could be sitting there, maybe not sitting there as you were 2.5 years ago with like, oh, I haven't got anything. They may have something, but it may not be quite to the level of Hotel IQ. Or they could be in exactly the same shoes that you were in and maybe been sitting on the fence a little bit and thinking, what should I do? What advice would you give to someone if they're sitting there and they just have too much data but too little insights?
I think the key thing on that would be, you know, figure out first, what problem are you trying to solve?
Mm-hmm.
With, you know, what do you want to do with the data? I would make it as accessible to as many people as possible. Mm-hmm. You know, I do really think that is absolutely key for any organization, because that drives conversations, focus, everybody on the same path, all of those factors. And then at the end of the day, you know, data is, especially for hotels, what we're looking at, you know, it's not just numbers. This is people's behavior. There's people behind every single one of these points.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for us as hoteliers, it's really important to remember that we're talking about people's behavior and how we interact with our guests,
mm-hmm.
translated into a numeric form. And don't lose sight of that. We're in a people business. Look at that element of it.
Not a bad message to end. I think hotels seem to be coming back to realizing that they're in the hospitality business from a time when it was all about brand and revenue. And actually, there's a guest at the heart of this as well, isn't there?
It's people.
Yeah, absolutely. Firas, any final kind of thoughts from your side of things?
No, honestly, I couldn't have said it better than Amy did. Anytime that, you know, I can get on here and someone is singing our praises and, you know, singing the same message as we are trying to put out there from, you know, a commercial point of view for ourselves. It's rewarding. It's validating that, you know, what we're doing is adding value for our clients and our users. Amy said it much better than I could have.
Perfect. And I have to say, you know, we don't do many case studies. We like to encourage them because for us, it brings the authenticity. You know, you see a lot is written and said by technology companies for obvious reasons. You know, they've got to get out there and they want to sell their solution, and the solutions 9 times out of 10 can add value. But I think actually hearing the story as to where we were, where we got to, how it helped us on the journey, and what were some of the changes, to me that just brings to life a subscription and something that moves the data around and actually turns into some real value. And to pinch your analogy, Firas, it's like, here's a bunch of ingredients. I'm going to get a chef and my tools to actually do something with it. And I'm going to convert that into something that is actually, you know, visually appealing and workable. And we can actually do something with, and the magic happens taking one and turning it into the other. So thank you so much, Amy. I think, you know, sharing those experiences, sharing those stories have been really interesting, but also highly valuable. So thank you so much for your time. It's much appreciated.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, Firas.
Thanks, Trevor. Great talking with you.
Well, I hope that conversation was of interest, and thanks again to Firaz and Amy for joining us. If you have any thoughts or views on this discussion, please feel free to reach out. You can contact us via our social channels, or you can email us via insights@revenue-hub.com. If you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. And if you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.